We'll sing verses 1, 3 and 4 only of number 10. Are singing well. 137. One we haven't sung in a while. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. We'll sing again verses 1, 3, 4, and the last verse as well. 137. You stuck with me in spite of the high notes. That's good going indeed. Could we turn, please, to hymn number 89? And while you're turning to that hymn this evening, there's someone who joins with us each Lord's Day in our webcast, and they've actually made this a special request this evening. And to our dear sister, Mrs. Hazel Monteith, there in Raderen, who's not able to get out of the house of the Lord due to her circumstances and her health, she joins with us here in mourning our webcast. And Hazel, we send our regards to you in the Saviour's name, and do seek to encourage you tonight by saying that you're very much in our prayers, and we remember you often before the throne of grace. And our sister has requested this hymn: "My Lord is garments so wondrous fine, and mair their texture fills." It was one of three possibilities. But we'll sing this one this time, sister, and if you remind us of the other ones, perhaps on another occasion, we'll sing one of those other favourite hymns that you mentioned. Verses 1, 2 and 4, and we trust that the singing of this hymn will be a real encouragement to our sister there as she joins with us. Maybe tonight this hymn's for you. Maybe you're that soul this evening, by sin oppressed. Well, tonight we've a wonderful message of hope in the gospel, that there is mercy with the Lord. We'll sing verses 1 and 2 to begin with, and perhaps even the verse 3, 1 and 2 of 221.
Worship the Lord with the hymn 306. That's on page 300 of your hymn books. Probably a very well-known anthem, I would say, of our denomination. But it is relevant to our message tonight, and we're going to stand this hymn as we sing this hymn unto the Lord. Hymn 306, and stand to sing, please.
Oh,
Well, we'll take these moments just to still ourselves before God and ask again for the Lord to come and to speak to us, to draw nigh and to speak to us tonight. Lord, we do thank Thee this evening that we can come again afresh before Thee, the great and terrible God, and yet we can sing these hymns with that assurance in our heart that it was at the cross where we first saw the light. We confess, Lord, that traveling through life, that we were not brought into this life in a state of light, but in a state of darkness. Lord, we confess that the God of this world had blinded our minds so that we would behold not the beautiful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet how we thank Thee this evening for the gift of faith that Thou didst give us. We thank Thee for grace that has brought us thus far, and grace that eventually will take us home. We come before Thee this evening again with that eye of faith that Thou hast given us, and with that eye of faith towards Thy dear and well-beloved Son. We thank Thee for the blood that draws us nigh into Thy presence, and we even have boldness to enter in by the blood of Jesus. Lord, we would come no other way because we have no other plea. But it is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. We thank You, Lord, for the cross work of Christ. We thank Thee for the life given, but more importantly, the blood that was shed. Lord, we praise Thee that we can approach Thee upon the basis and grounds of that sacrifice and enter into Thy courts. And we do that, therefore, this evening, come before Thee and plead all of the merit and all of the value and, of course, all of the virtue of the blood of the God-man. And ask Thee, Lord, that as we have come, Lord, even come with reverence and come in acknowledging who we come before, that Thou will graciously see us in our need and condescend and meet us tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, that Thou didst lay captivity captive, be raised up again on high, and give gifts unto men. Lord, Thou hast given the gift of ministers and pastors to Thy church in order to build up and to edify the saints of God and evangelize the lost. We ask Thee, Lord, tonight that as we would avail ourselves of this means, that Thou will come and bless it. This is the means that we believe in. This is the means that Thou hast ordained. So, Lord, we would ask that Thou wilt come and see fit to use us in some small way tonight. Yea, Lord, even in the salvation of precious, never-dying souls. We ask Thee, Lord, to come and to speak to individuals in our gathering this evening. We thank You as well for the Reverend Patterson, who normally has that charge here from week to week. We pray that Thou wilt bless him and even strengthen him in his body. And as he's away for a little season, Lord, that You might strengthen him in his body and in his soul. Lord, even be pleased to put Thy healing hand upon him at this time and give him strength to go on. Remember as well those who, as we've been considering this morning, those who have been hit by this terrible tragedy. Lord, we can only cast our minds back to how that is work when we read of an earthquake in Scripture. Whenever Thou didst come and awaken that man in Philippi as a result of an earthquake, we pray, Lord, that for pagan Nepal, that Thou might be pleased just simply to do the same. And through this earthquake, come and awaken darkened sinners. And may their cry be the cry of the Philippian jailer, "What must I do to be saved?" Why, we thank Thee that it is by simple faith in Christ that we can be saved. And we pray this evening that there will be those in that country as well as in this gathering that will avail themselves of the Savior of men. So come and bless us this evening. Hear and answer prayer, for we offer it in, of course, the lovely and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen. We'll further praise the Lord tonight with the hymn 263, hymn 263 on page 282 of your hymn books. That's hymn 263 on page 282. "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Love?" And we'll stand again while we sing this hymn. Can you turn with me, please, this evening to Mark's Gospel and to the chapter 10, Mark chapter 10 for a Bible reading. Mark chapter 10, and we want to consider an event at the end of the chapter, and so we'll read from verse 43 down to the close of that chapter. Mark chapter 10, and we'll begin at verse 43. And we read there, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be the servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. We'll end our reading there. Can you turn back with me, please, in your Bible to Mark's Gospel in the chapter 10, to the portion that we read, Mark chapter 10. And we want to consider one of the events in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ as he was in the final weeks of his earthly life, as he came and met this man, blind Bartimaeus. But with our Bibles open before us, we'll bow in a brief moment's prayer and ask the Lord to come and to speak to us tonight from his word. Lord, we simply cast ourselves upon thee again. Cast ourselves upon the Son of God, the one who we've been reading about this evening, the one who ultimately we gaze upon in worship and praise and prayer, and even in the scriptures. For these are they which testify of him. We ask, Lord, as we would be taken up with this event in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, O God, may it be a savour of life unto those who are in life. But Lord, may it also be that sweet smelling savour of those who are currently lost as well. We ask thee, O God, now for this time that would remain, to come afresh upon us, both preacher in the pulpit and hearer in the pew, to anoint us afresh with all the fullness of God and open up the scriptures to us, that we might behold beautiful and wondrous things out of thy law, which we currently do not understand. Come and show us a new thing even through the scriptures this evening. Come and bless our hearts, and come ultimately and speak to some poor benighted soul, and draw them savingly, draw them effectually, and draw them tenderly to thy wounded side. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 10. We want to really consider most of the portion that we read. But in verse 51 we read of Mark chapter 10 that Jesus answered and said unto him, that's blind Bartimaeus, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Coming into this portion that we read tonight, we find the Lord Jesus Christ in the last days of his remaining earthly ministry. And there was no other gospel minister like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He had spent his life with as busy a schedule as any gospel minister could care to possess in reaching the lost, restoring the sick, and of course refurbishing and remoulding broken lives. But Christ is now heading for the home straight of his earthly ministry, and he's heading towards Jerusalem, and he is bound there to that city. And whenever he would arrive at Jerusalem, there of course he would be rejected by the Jews, be betrayed by the hands of men, and eventually be crucified upon the cross of Calvary. Christ was in the home straight, the very last stages of his earthly ministry, and he was headed and bound for the cross at Calvary. And as he makes this homecoming journey, as it were, towards Calvary, towards the conclusion of his earthly ministry, he and his disciples, they are now passing through the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho was approximately 10 miles from Jerusalem, and the city of Jericho would have been a beehive of activity at that time. Surely it would have been all systems go in Jericho, because everybody was heading for Jerusalem for the Passover. And this city, Jericho, really it lay upon one of the main routes that were bound for Jerusalem. So you imagine Jesus Christ heading for Jerusalem. It's going there. Everybody's going to celebrate the Passover. Multitudes of people are gathering, and he is heading towards Jerusalem. Surely the fame of Jesus Christ and his ministry, surely it would have gone before him. Surely there would have been many people as he made his way to Jerusalem with his disciples. Surely there would have been crowds of people thronging, waiting to hear words of wisdom, perhaps even to receive some form of healing of Jesus Christ. Surely there would have been many people gathering around him. And indeed, verse 46 tells us that as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. But Jesus Christ, the loving and compassionate servant, in keeping with his ministry thus far, amidst the masses and multitudes that were flocking around him, what did he do? Well, he spied out one poor, destitute, and needy individual out of the multitudes. He spied this needy individual, blind Bartimaeus, and he came to him, spied him out from the crowds, and he met all of his physical needs and spiritual needs as well, as he restored his sight unto him. And it teaches us an important lesson this evening, that Christ is not indifferent towards the individual. Rather, he is interested in the individual. Jesus Christ himself, the willing and able servant, he is able and desiring to heal all of those who are in need before a holy God. And this evening, just as Christ singled out Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho, or on the road to Jerusalem, so surely he would do exactly the same with you. He would, as it were, out of the masses and the multitude, even this gathering this evening, he would single you out as an individual and speak words of comfort and words of cheer to your soul. Whether you be barren in sin, bound by sin, brokenhearted because of sin, or even blind to your sin, it matters not to the great physician of the soul. Jesus Christ himself, he is interested in you this evening, whatever your spiritual need is before God. What a wonderful truth. What a wonderful truth that Jesus Christ, that man as he, as it were, had that busy schedule, humanly speaking, as there was all the things that had to be done, as he had to go to Jerusalem, as there was the Passover to be celebrated, the Lord's table to be instituted, yet he still had time to meet this individual. And of course, he has that time, as it were, for you this evening. How tender, how loving, how compassionate is Jesus Christ. And so I want to draw your attention this evening to Bartimaeus, an individual whose needs Christ met. Bartimaeus, an individual whose needs Christ met. Three things I want to leave with you tonight concerning Bartimaeus. The first thing I want you to notice is the condition of Bartimaeus. Now, if you read the Bible, you'll discover that this account of blind Bartimaeus receiving a sight is not just found in Mark's Gospel. It's actually found in Luke and also in Matthew. And if you read Matthew's account, you'll discover that there wasn't one blind person, but there was actually two. So immediately you're thinking to yourself, well, hold on a minute, the skeptic, they will say, here's a contradiction in the scripture. But I submit to you that it's not. Mark is just simply focusing in upon this individual, blind Bartimaeus. His name, Bartimaeus, actually means son of Timaeus. And the name Timaeus simply means honor. And we can deduce from that that this man, Bartimaeus, his father was probably an honorable man. And therefore, he was well known in society. And so Mark and Luke, they just focus in upon Bartimaeus. But what was his condition as we find him before us tonight? Well, the first thing we notice is that he was destitute. In verse 46, we have there his condition set before us. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Remember where Bartimaeus was situated? On the outskirts of a city, the city of Jericho. The name Jericho simply means to smell or a place of fragrance. It is actually a city that possessed many beautiful flowers, such as the rose or the balsam, a rose and balsam. And honey was also in abundance in this city. But remember this, Bartimaeus was blind. He couldn't see the wonder and the splendor of God's creation around him. He also, even in daily life, he quite frankly couldn't see where he was going. He therefore lived a life of constant darkness, constant blackness, because of his blindness. But this blindness also had other consequences, because we read there that he sat by the highway side begging. And because he couldn't see and he lived this terrible life, he actually had no occupation. He couldn't get an occupation or a job. And so he sat there by the highway side asking for alms and begging, casting himself upon the welfare of others. He lived a life of blindness and begging. So look at it. He was blind. He was a beggar. But where was he situated? I've already said he was in Jericho. And you who know and love the Lord and know your Bibles, you'll remember what happened to Jericho. In Joshua chapter 6, when the children of Israel were going to take over Jericho, what happened? The walls fell down, but they were not to take any of the spoil of that city. Why? Well, because God placed a perpetual curse upon that city. And in Joshua 7, whenever Achan then went and took of the accursed thing, what happened to Joshua, or to Achan? Well, because that city was bound by a curse, the Lord smote Achan. And see, here we find, when you put this all together, what was Joshua's destitution? What was his picture? Well, he was blind, he couldn't see. He was a beggar, but he was also placed in a location which was bound by a perpetual curse. Now you think about that this evening, sinner. Is that not your condition before God? You see, man does not live a life of beauty. He lives a life of bankruptcy. And you might possess much this evening in this life, but the truth of the matter is that as Bartimaeus stood physically before Christ, so you stand and you find yourself spiritually standing before Jesus Christ. Outside of Christ, you live as menial and as barren as an existence as blind Bartimaeus. Because as he was physically blind, you are spiritually blind. The Bible tells us that the God of this world, what does he do? What does Satan do? He blinds the men, the eyes of the men, of those who believe not the gospel. And so you are currently blind. Blind to the disease of your sin. Blind to the dreadfulness of your sin. And blind also to the destination of your sin. My friends, you can't see that this evening, can you? That as you continue on in your sin, that it has that ultimate destination, hell itself. But also, you're spiritually bankrupt, are you not? Remember before the fall, what happened? Well, before the fall, Adam had all that he needed spiritually. He was created as righteous before God. He was created as holy before God. And he was created with perfect knowledge of God. The book of Ecclesiastes tells us that God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. And before the fall, man was spiritually rich before God, but he lost all that. And as a result, he became spiritually bankrupt before God. And surely this evening, you too, like Bartimaeus, are you not located in a place which is bound by a perpetual curse? After the fall, this earth was tragically plunged into a curse. And we're even told in Revelation that this earth, what will happen to it? It will be burned up and it will be created anew. My friend, you put all of that together. And that is your standing before God this evening. Spiritually blind, spiritually bankrupt, and spiritually bound before God. Ephesians 4:18 summarizes it well when we read there, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. Why? Because of the blindness of their heart. And God says through the Apostle Paul, he said that man has his understanding darkened. It's like his mind is one perpetual haze of blackness. But why is it? Because of the blindness of his own heart. Man is not prosperous before God. No, he's a pauper before God. And you this evening, still outside of Christ, you sit as it were where Bartimaeus sat. You sit as blind, barren, and bound before God. And I trust this evening, if you grasp nothing else from this meeting, grasp that. Don't look at Bartimaeus as a picture of somebody who's a lowlife, as it were, in society, because there's a spiritual lesson in it all. That you before God, that's exactly how you stand. He was destitute, but notice also that he was desirous. In verse 47, we read that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the verb there, to cry out, it literally means to scream, to shout out. Remember that Bartimaeus, he was blind. He had never seen a miracle before performed in his life. However, you imagine, as we've already painted the picture for you, the crowds and the noise that would have brought. And Bartimaeus, he knew that something was going on. Perhaps maybe he heard somebody use the name of Jesus Christ. So he knew that Christ was coming alongside him. But he didn't exactly know where Christ was because he was blind. But he just simply shouted out. He didn't know where Christ was, but he just simply shouted out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. You'll notice also, what did he call Christ? He called him the son of David. The other common name for Christ was the son of Nazareth. Think about it this way. You're from Mourne this evening. And so you're probably going to your name. You're going to be there and your name, but you're so-and-so from Mourne. And here is Jesus. It's that human title that's given to you. You know, that's where you're raised. That's where you're brought up. And so it is with Christ. He was raised in Nazareth. It was a human title of Jesus Christ. But whenever Bartimaeus heard that Christ was passing by, he didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth. No, he said, Jesus, thou son of David. In other words, he was simply displaying faith in Christ's person as the Messiah. He recognized that Christ was the Messiah, that he was able and willing to perform this miracle that he needed. So you put it all together and you see, here's Bartimaeus and he's earnestly crying out to the Messiah. Basically saying, I believe that you have the power to give me sight. Now give me it. He was intensely desiring that he would have his eyesight cleansed. And Christ desires this evening, not that you be a sluggish sinner, but that you be a seeking sinner. That when you hear about the divine Son of God, that you respond accordingly. That you don't just sit back and be passive about the whole thing, but that you would, as it were, rouse yourself and be earnestly desiring the cleansing of your soul. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will do that work this evening. That he will rouse you up. That he will awaken your heart to see your darkness, to see your great need before Christ. And that you will come and ask him to cleanse you. In Matthew 9 verse 27, we have a very similar miracle performed by Christ. Christ was in the house of Jairus, where he had raised Jairus' daughter. And as he then left that house, there were two blind men simply waiting on him. And in Matthew 9, verse 27, we read, When Jesus departed thence, that's the house of Jairus, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, "Thou Son of David, have mercy upon us." What were these two blind men doing? They were making the most of their opportunity. Just as blind Bartimaeus here, remember this, that Christ would never pass through Jericho again. It was his last opportunity to meet Jesus Christ, to have his eyesight given to him. I wonder if I'm speaking to somebody this evening, and this could be the very last opportunity that you have of hearing of Jesus of Nazareth, of Jesus the Son of David, passing this way past you. I trust that you'll be desiring, just as Bartimaeus was here, have that longing in your heart and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David," shout it out as it were, "have mercy upon me." His condition, but notice secondly, the call of Bartimaeus. Whilst Bartimaeus was sat by the wayside and he was calling on Christ for mercy, verse 49 tells us that whilst Christ passed him by, he then commanded Bartimaeus to be called. He heard Bartimaeus' call and he then called him unto himself. Think about the character of this call. In verse 49, and I love these words in this portion, verse 49, we read that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Think of all the commotion that was going on at that time, as I have already said. Many were thronging and wishing to hear about Jesus Christ and hear even from Jesus Christ. Even read through the Gospel of Mark, you'll discover that Christ is depicted as a busy and willing servant. We read there this evening that he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ was a busy servant. But then, and out of the midst of it all, we read these lovely words. Jesus stood still. And with all that was going on around him, what happened? Christ just simply walked past Bartimaeus and he stood still. And he looked at him. What is he teaching you this evening? He's teaching you that Christ, he has a heart of compassion towards those who are in need. He stopped, cared for, and then called Bartimaeus unto himself. You see, Christ is not heartless towards sinners, but rather he has a heart for sinners. You who are barren in your sin, you who are blind to your sin, you who are bound by your sin, fear not, because Jesus Christ has a heart of compassion for those who are in need. And as a result of that compassion, what's he doing this evening? He's mercifully calling you to himself. As he called Bartimaeus, as he commanded him to be called, it was a compassionate call, a call that arose from the very heart himself of Jesus Christ, from the heart of Christ, because he has compassion for the needy. In Mark 1, verse 41, we read that as Christ went out of Capernaum, that Jesus moved with compassion, that's Mark 1:41, that he put forth his hand and touched a leper, and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And the phrase there, moved with compassion, it's strong, it's intense. It literally means from the very core of the being, from the bowels, from the insides, Christ was moved to the very core of his being for this, towards this needy individual. This man who had the terrible disease of leprosy. This man who really nobody else wanted to bother with in society. This man who would have been locked away from society, in isolation from society. What did Christ do? He was moved with compassion for him. And he moved and he put forth his hand and he touched him and he cleansed him from his disease. Christ died in the place of sinners. And therefore, he has that heart of compassion for the sinner. And he has that heart of compassion for you this evening. God so loved the world that he gave his son to die for you. You know, last August, a mother and her 3-year-old, they were on a cruise boat and a cruise ship in a river in Melbourne. But something tragically happened. The boat suddenly stopped, and then this mother and her child, they fell into the water. You can imagine what a terrible scene that would have been. But it was quite a narrow river, and over on the bank there was a big crowd that was actually starting to gather. And amongst that crowd there was a young man, about the age of 30, and he took no thought of his personal welfare. And he simply dived into that deep river, and he rescued that mother and her little child. And that mother said to that young man that she was eternally grateful for him coming and rescuing both her and her child. And it only serves as a very poor illustration to show the heart of compassion of Jesus Christ for sinners, and the heart of compassion that Christ has for you. And that's why he's calling you this evening, tenderly and mercifully calling you. The character of this call, but notice the method of this call. Verse 49, the second part of the verse, we read that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." If you follow that reading carefully, you'll discover that it wasn't actually Christ himself who called Bartimaeus to himself. No, we read there that he commanded him to be called. What did Christ do? He simply went to either his disciples or perhaps somebody in the multitude. We don't know, but I personally believe that it was one of his disciples. And he simply came to them and he asked them to go over and to call Bartimaeus on his behalf. And whenever they then went to Bartimaeus' disciples, what did they say? They said, "Rise, be of good comfort, for he rise and be of good comfort." And that the sense of that is, in that verb rise, it means to be awakened, to gather yourselves together, to gather all of your belongings together, to waken up, to be aroused, rouse yourself for the Master's calling. And he is simply showing us that this is God's methods for calling sinners. Christ used a human instrument in calling blind Bartimaeus unto himself. He didn't call Bartimaeus directly. No, he commanded him to be called. And the servants, they then went to blind Bartimaeus, and they came to him, and they said, "Gather yourself together. Rise. Waken yourself, man. For Christ is calling you." And it just goes to illustrate what we were speaking about this morning. That Christ, he gives that message to men. And they then carry that message to the lost sinner and call them to Jesus Christ. And in a very real way, this is what's happening this evening. Christ is, as it were, given that message to this particular follower of Jesus Christ. And it is my job and my responsibility to then call the sinner on behalf of Christ. And that's a very solemn thing. That's a very solemn thing to think that you are being personally called by Christ. But it's not, he's using that human instrument, as it were. And it only goes to even show you, Christian, this evening, that you can also be engaged in this business. He, as it were, doesn't call men directly in that sense. But no, he gives that message to men. He gives that message to his followers. And they then go to the sinner and they ask the sinner, they say, "Rise, he's calling you. Christ is calling you unto himself." The Apostle Paul illustrated this principle in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 20, where there we read, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And in the context of that, Paul was actually being accused in his ministry. And he simply then moves to defend his ministry, to defend the credentials of it. And what did he say? He said, "I'm just an ambassador for Jesus Christ." What's an ambassador? An ambassador is just simply a spokesman on behalf of another. And he said, "I'm a spokesman on behalf of Jesus Christ. But it is, as it were, though God did beseech you by us." In other words, it's as if God's calling you directly. But I am just an ambassador. I am, as it were, calling you in Christ's stead. And that's what's happening this evening, sinner. This ambassador of Jesus Christ, he's just simply calling you. I'm not calling you to myself, but I'm calling you to my Savior. I'm calling you to come to Christ. The condition of Bartimaeus, the call of Bartimaeus. Lastly, notice the cure of Bartimaeus. Whenever the individuals brought Bartimaeus over to Christ, he then entered a little bit of a conversation with Bartimaeus. Verse 51, he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Bartimaeus then just simply told him that he wanted his sight restored. And the Lord Jesus Christ did it. He cured him, and he restored his sight unto him. But notice in this cure, the recognition in the cure. Verse 52 we read, that Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And in sending him away and saying that his faith had made him whole, Christ was just simply saying to Bartimaeus that he recognized Bartimaeus' faith. Bartimaeus realized that Christ was the Son of David, that Christ had not only the power, but Christ was the only person who could give this cleansing. And so Christ recognized all of that. And he said, "Bartimaeus, because of your faith in my power, your faith in my person, because Bartimaeus had faith in Christ's power and person, Christ then granted him spiritual restoration, or physical restoration." And in coming to Christ, whilst there must be an acknowledgement of sin, there must also be an acknowledgement of the Savior. An acknowledgement and a laying hold, as it were, upon Jesus Christ. Believing that he is the Messiah. Believing in his person, who he is. But believing also in his power. That he is the only person who has both the ability and the authority to give you that spiritual eyesight that you need. Oh, I trust this evening that it will be able to be said of you, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." The recognition in the cure, Christ recognized Bartimaeus' faith. But notice also then, and think about the reception of the cure. In verse 52, the second part of the verse, we read, "Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." And whilst Mark's account that we've been reading this evening omits this, Matthew's gospel tells us that Christ leant over and that there were those two men sitting by the highway side. And in Matthew 20, verse 34, he bent over, as it were, and he touched their eyes. And it just as he touched their eyes, all it took was a reach of the hand of Jesus Christ, and this man instantaneously received his sight. He was immediately able to see and follow Christ. You see, while sanctification is progressive, justification is instantaneous. My friend, if you come to Jesus Christ, you will be immediately declared as righteous before God in his sight. And just as he physically put his hands upon the eyes of Bartimaeus, so he will, as it were, spiritually speaking, just reach out and say, "I wilt, you can see." Christ, he immediately cleansed this man. Bartimaeus, an individual whose needs Christ met. Christ was on his way to Jerusalem. He was in Jericho. And he just saw this blind man sitting by the highway side begging. And he stood still. And he leant over, as it were, and touched his eyes. And Bartimaeus, because of his faith, he was made whole. And I trust this evening that the Lord Jesus Christ himself will cause your blinded eyes to be opened to Christ tonight. May God bless his word to each and to all of our hearts this evening. We'll close our service with the hymn 265. Hymn 265 on page 283. The hymn 265 on page 283. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean." Hymn 265. We'll stand whilst we sing, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5 only. Standing while we sing.
Yeah. remain standing for prayer. Lord, we do stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And we simply marvel and wonder how he could ever love me, a sinner condemned and unclean. How we thank thee, Lord, for thy compassion towards the unclean. We thank thee, O God, for the compassion that thou dost have towards those who are poor and needy. And we pray this evening that thou wilt extend thy compassion, as it were, as it arises from the very heart of Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt have mercy upon those who are unclean, asking thee, O God, that thou wilt take the word of God and effectively and effectually apply it to every heart as thou dost see fit. Be with us now as we would go our several ways. Part us with your fear and keep us in thy favour. Watch over us and keep us this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.